point, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red. You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink filmmakers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, find them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me what I thought is, woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No. It's probably some dumb sports movie anyway.
Sports movie?
Okay, we've got to put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty. Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us out of possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, the shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it.
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
We're the stars of this piece of shit!
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't fight?
Fuck, I'll just take all you want. I got a
Spider-Man
t-shirt.
Well, hello, sir.
Hello.
It's been 2-3 weeks.
I don't know what's happened.
I think the last show we did was before Thanksgiving. I think it was. I think it was before Thanksgiving.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, we had the holiday in there, and then you and your entire family were sick.
That's right.
So we had to take a mandatory break there.
Right.
But now we're back, and we want to get right into it, because this is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 269, The Holiday Gift Guide, part 1.
Yippee, skippy, hooray!
Yeah, so basically what we're going to do is we're going to be telling you some of our favorite things that you can get your fellow geeks for Christmas this year, and we're going to start today. So the format will be a little different. The episode will be a tad bit longer than usual, only a tad. And we're gonna kind of cram all of that stuff that we normally do in 2 segments into 1 segment, and then we're gonna focus on product more or less in the second segment.
Okay,
right? That's how we do that.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Traditionally,
sure.
And then of course we're gonna talk about some of our favorite companies and products, and you know some of them that we mentioned already in the weeks leading up, like ThinkGeek.
Right.
And some of those guys as well. Plus, next week, actually, a very old friend of ours reached out to us with a new product.
Oh, yeah.
And he sent it over. And actually, well, technically, it's 2 old friends of ours reached out to us with new product. And I think we're going to discuss one or both of them next week.
Go Hero?
Go Hero's one of them.
Ah, yes. Nice.
And you know who the other one is?
I don't.
Cool Rockets.
Oh, huzzah.
Remember Cool Rockets?
I love Cool Rockets.
So we're going to be talking about those guys in the next couple of weeks and what they're up to and what they're doing. And they both have a great product to consider for holiday as well. So we want to include that as well. So we have, what, 1, 2, 3 weeks and then Christmas?
Yes.
Is that technically
That's,
correct?
That
Wait,
is
so
correct.
Today is,
well, today is the 5th.
And then
so you have the 12th.
12th and then the 19th. 19th.
And then the following Wednesday is the day after Christmas.
Oh, yeah, we're not doing a show that day.
So
yeah.
There you go.
So there it is.
So there it
and
is.
And actually, wait, so then won't the 3rd one be our last one before New Year's?
Are we...
270, 271.
271 would be the last one before New Year's.
Last one of 2012.
That's right.
Will be Gift Guide Part 3.
We'll make no big deal of it, like we usually do.
Absolutely none.
There'll be no parties.
But do not be surprised if you then don't hear from us until, like, the first or second week of January.
Yeah, something like that will happen.
Right. And then, as usual, you know what the new year brings for us? The new year brings the brand new version of Tell a Friend.
Right.
The brand new, lots of brand new things going to be happening in 2013. So we're very excited and we'll share those with you in January.
Lots and lots of brand new things in 2013, provided you continue to listen to the show.
Yeah.
And perhaps you utilize that PayPal donate button.
That would be that would be great.
I'm just saying.
It's over there for your use.
Happy holidays.
Yes. Merry Christmas, Big Kez Geek Stuff.
That's right. And remember, that money goes to the show.
That's right.
And not to our pockets or whatever anybody else has said.
And we should be very clear about that. You know, the fact that we are able to continue to do the things that we do here on the show is because of the generous donations of listeners like you.
Absolutely.
Wow, I just totally ripped off PBS.
You did.
You know how I know all of those lines from PBS?
Because you watch Downton Abbey like a mofo.
I do, but I watch it when it's on in England.
Right.
So I don't see any of that stuff until I'm watching it for the second time in the U.S. No, I've been watching Ken Burns' latest documentary, The Dust Bowl.
Yes, I've heard about The Dust Bowl.
Awesome.
I've heard it's both awesome and very Ken Burns-y.
And very frightening. Like, yes. Holy crap, I had no idea.
Yeah, I've heard that.
You know, and it's like, well, it's like a generation removed from us, or two generations, yeah. Or three generations from me, two from OG. And, but the point is that
no.
It's amazing. It's amazing. An amazing story, so you should definitely check it out. It's on DVD, so that we can kind of tie it into DVD.
Holiday gift guide. Ken Burns, the anything. Ken Burns, all good.
That's right. Ken Burns, the Dust
Bowl. Even jazz.
Ken Burns' daughter.
Yes.
Burns. Has just made a documentary as well. It's the Central Park Five. About the Central Park jogger race case. The kids that they railroaded and then found not guilty.
So documentaries run in the family, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and her father produced it.
Documentarian.
So Ken Burns produced that one as well.
Well, let's move forward with the show.
Geek stuff.
X-Men, Days of Future Past. Who will return? That is confirmed. Wolverine.
Slow down.
Okay.
So X-Men Days of Future Past is now what? Is it X-Men 4 or is it X-Men First Class 2?
I think that it's X-Men First Class 2.
Okay. Go.
Hugh Jackman returns as Wolverine.
Well, and no one's surprised. And now this makes what? 3, 4, 5?
This means all of them.
This will be his 7th film
all
as Wolverine.
All of the X-Films.
This will be his 7th film as Wolverine.
Also returning, which is why you may want to call this X-Men 4, you know, if you feel like it, Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart.
Okay.
Apparently coming back as
Professor X.
Older Professor X and
so is Professor X going to wake up?
I don't know.
One assumes?
I don't know.
I got to say I'm a little disappointed at Ian McKellen.
Why?
Because I want the other one. I want Fassbender.
Oh, I think you're going to have both.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Fighting it out?
I don't know.
That would be amazing.
I have a feeling that you are going to end up seeing, maybe with the exception of you, Hugh Jackman.
Right.
I have a feeling you're going to end up seeing younger and older versions. Maybe it's only going to be X, Xavier, and Magneto.
Right.
Eric, maybe that's it. But I think you're going to end up seeing both. That's speculative. I don't think that's confirmed.
Wouldn't it be awesome to see Fassbender Magneto face off against McKellen Magneto? That would be awesome.
That would be silly.
Do you have any Hobbit news? Because we're, what, 9 days away?
Other than it's getting mostly good reviews now.
Oh, is it getting mostly good reviews?
Yeah, well, there have
been... A couple
been,
of haters?
There's always some haters. There's always some... You know. And then you have also people trying to compare... Some of the negative reviews I've read are people trying to compare the tone of The Hobbit...
To Lord of the Rings?
To the tone of Lord of the Rings, which
just
proves that they're
stupid.
Asinine.
Yep.
And then I've also heard that Radagast the Brown...
Uh-huh.
In one review, I heard him compared to Jar Jar Binks. So that's an issue. But, you know, the tone of The Hobbit is really, with a few exception and intense moments, the tone of The Hobbit is much...
Much lighter.
Much lighter.
Yeah.
Remember, junior novel, like junior teen, was the audience.
That was not
written for the same audience that Lord of the Rings was.
Can we talk about that for one second?
Sure.
I heard a huge thing about this over the weekend, and which I thought was fantastic. And here's the thing: it was written for his. He wrote it for his children.
Right.
So it's a children's story. So you have to kind of keep that in mind when you're doing this. Now, did you know that in the original version of The Hobbit, this would be the first pressing of The Hobbit?
Uh-huh.
Gollum was not an evil creature.
Oh, no, I did not. Was he more like Smeagol?
And they kind of shook hands and parted ways, and he gave Bilbo the ring after the contest because he lost.
Oh, thank God that was changed.
And they shook hands and left. And when he was writing Lord of the Rings, which took 17 years, right. By the way, when he was writing Lord of the Rings, it didn't fit. The character didn't fit into the larger context of Lord of the Rings, so he rewrote that part of The Hobbit.
This is the first I'm ever hearing this.
Yes.
So if you have a first printing of The Hobbit, Gollum is like a different, swell chap.
You have a different, not a swell chap, but not, definitely not the ring-addicted creature he was in, well, certainly in the film version that we're going to see.
I have a hard time even imagining that.
I know. That's why I want to get.
Within the context of the
Hobbit. That's why I want to get an original.
Someone should pre-print it.
No, I don't think so.
Why not?
Because I think once it's changed in that way, that they don't go back and reprint
that. Why not?
That.
The Hobbit the novel, the director's cut.
No.
Special edition.
I think we
got deleted scenes.
I think we got to just find a copy somehow.
You know how much a first edition printing of The Hobbit has to go for?
$3-4
Perhaps more than that.
Just saying.
I'm just saying. That is not a cheap
purchase.
That's not a Sunday market flea market buy.
You know
what I'm saying?
Hey, don't you do that, sir.
Listen.
First of all, it'll be a first European edition, which would be really tough to find at the giant stadium flea market.
How would you know? Maybe I meant Collingswood.
True. Okay.
Anyway. Mortal Kombat Legacy. Do you remember this? Mortal Kombat Legacy?
It was like the web series?
That was the web series that was like awesome and hugely well received.
Uh-huh.
Well, series 2 is coming in next year, 2013. Of course, because it was awesome and it left some open ending. So I just thought that was interesting that it found that kind of success where it couldn't find it on both regular television and in the theaters.
Mortal Kombat is celebrating, what is it? They're celebrating some anniversary. Is it 25 years?
Oh, God, I don't even know. It could
15
be.
Years or something?
I don't remember.
There's some anniversary this year, I'm pretty sure.
Well, maybe that's, I don't know. Mortal Kombat's one of those things that will never die. It's just loved by all.
Just so old and dated.
No. I like the Mortal Kombat. But, you know, it got silly after a while. When you had the friendships and the babalities, when it was just like...
Babality.
You turn your opponent into a baby. Really? Got a little silly. But Classic Combat was good. Good stuff. The Justice League movie. Let's talk about that for a moment.
Okay. We have a moment, obviously, to waste.
We have what we believe is now the leaked villain. The leaked super bad.
Dun, dun, dun.
For the Justice League movie. Take a guess.
Let's see. Darkseid.
There you go.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So
way back when, Marvel sort of rips off DC when they create Thanos.
Okay.
Right. I mean, Jim Starlin has pretty much flat out said that Thanos was Marvel's Darkseid.
Right.
Okay. So then Marvel has all this success with the Avengers movie, and DC's like, we gotta do that. Let's rip off our own character back.
Sure.
And does Darkseid. It's going to be a shittier version.
This,
I don't want to say that. Maybe it'll be good, but...
But this assumes this movie is going to get made.
So this movie is on the slate for like 2015,
Yeah.
I don't know.
So
unless Superman tanks.
Right.
I mean, that's...
Really? Go ahead and let him put it out. Up against Star Wars 7. Go ahead.
Look, I'm not saying it's not going to be a difficult year.
Go right ahead.
It's not going to be a difficult year.
Go right. And Cap 2, isn't that 2015? Or is that 2014?
No, Cap 2, I think, is 2015. I think Winter Soldier is 2015.
I thought it was sooner than that. But...
I could be wrong.
No, is the other Avengers movie 2015?
Oh, yeah, maybe.
I think that's
maybe
it is.
Avengers 2 is 2015.
Yeah.
That would make sense. We're going to skip that story.
Well, what is it?
Arrow.
Okay, yeah, let's skip it. No, what?
It's been really good. I know that you're not watching it, but they're...
I'm going to watch it, like, all at once.
All at once. They're introducing... They're bringing in another new character to the show. Not a new character. Another character from the pantheon of characters. And the reason why I was excited about this... the character is Shado. So Shado is the...
Shado?
Yeah. Shado. S-H-A-D-O.
S-H-A-D-O.
Yeah. She is the female, the Japanese female archer, right? That was in the Longbow Hunters.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So you understand why I might be excited about that?
Shido.
Any correlation Shido. To Longbow Hunters, which could be arguably one of the best Green Arrow stories ever written,
right.
is a good thing in my opinion.
True.
So
you know what I've been discussing? Something I actually want to bring up, and this is a good place to bring it up because it's one of the best Green Arrow stories ever written. One of my favorite Green Arrow stories is The Dark Knight Returns. Have you noticed The Dark Knight Returns is having this immense resurgence lately?
Well...
Have you noticed that?
It seems cyclical a little bit, doesn't it?
Well,
I mean, the animated series is certainly the animated movies.
That aside, because this started long before that. The chess set, remember we talked about? They did a Dark Knight set. DC is reissuing the Dark Knight Returns action figures or in a box. I think they did it already or they're going to do it. They are now working on their, second or third or fourth DC collectible statue from the Dark Knight Returns. Kotobukiya just put out a Dark Knight Returns statue. The animated film happened. Like, all this stuff's happening. I don't think it's a particular, is it the anniversary?
I don't know. Dark Knight Returns I think it was just one of those.
It's 86 or 87, which would make it, 11 or 12 would have been...
I want to chalk it up to the fact that I think Dark Knight Returns is probably one of the most beloved Batman storylines ever written.
Well, because it turned Batman into the character he is today.
Right. It took Batman from...
I have a great analogy.
Bang pow.
No, it took Batman from Tim Burton to Christopher Nolan.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it really did. It redefined that character and gave us what we would consider the modern Batman.
Well, I just want to point it out because I think in the coming weeks and maybe into 2013 as we approach the second half of the Dark Knight Returns
DVD,
that we might talk about some of those things because I think it's an interesting phenomenon.
Sure. We can do that. We'll put it on the calendar.
Sorry.
Jamie Foxx.
Uh-huh.
Going to be in a movie.
Uh-huh. The Django. But the D is silent. Django.
I actually do want to see that. I'm not going to lie. I like Quentin Tarantino.
I like blaxploitation westerns. Do you.
Jamie Foxx.
Not enough controversial language in the title.
Oh,
but
shush you. Amazing Spider-Man 2. As?
Yeah.
Pick. Guess.
Okay, so this is Jamie Foxx, and he's supposed to be... Is he going to be Spider-Man? Because that's like a Marvel thing to do.
No.
Okay, so he would be a villain?
He will be a villain.
Okay, he'll be a villain, and he'll be in Spider-Man 2, and he's a black guy, and...
I don't know that you can go based on that.
You clearly can't, because I have no idea.
Oh, maybe you can.
Is he going to be a Falcon?
No. No, he's going to... No.
Is he Black Lightning? That's DC.
No, but you're getting closer. Electro.
Really?
So now I'm thinking, was Ultimate Electro a black guy?
I don't remember.
Ultimate Electro was bald.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't have the electric star thing on his face. I don't know. He might have been a black guy.
I don't remember.
So I don't... I have mixed feelings about this, because I really think the Amazing Spider-Man...
Was
I
awful.
But I don't like Jamie Foxx's description of the character.
What did he say? A brother with
Electro is a great character. I met with the director Mark Webb, I met with Andrew Garfield, and we talked. I think Electro will be an exciting character to play because he's a genius electrician type person and he gets the short end of the stick from the whole world, and the next thing you know, he turns it on.
Awesome. I don't know. I'm so looking forward to this movie now.
A couple of things there.
Is he the main villain?
He wasn't. He wasn't. He wasn't a genius. Wasn't he a lineman? In classic Spider-Man, I think he was a lineman that was working on a power line that got, like, surged when it got hit by lightning.
I have no idea.
And it caused a mutation that created it, turned him into Electro.
No idea.
I think. Now, the Ultimate version, I don't remember quite as well, so maybe that's what this is. But, anyway, there's that.
Okay.
Star Trek Into the Darkness.
So, is that what it's called?
That's the official title.
Okay.
We will, according to Simon Pegg... We will have a trailer tomorrow. Thursday, tomorrow morning, online, there will be a trailer.
What?
Yep.
Where?
Online. I don't know what
sort. Online.
It'll probably, Apple.com. I don't know if it's going to be released to a specific venue or if it's just going to be, it might be through the Star Trek Into the Darkness website, the official website, and then everybody will have it. YouTube will have it. Everybody will embed it, and it'll be everywhere. But we have, this came out a couple weeks ago, but this is a synopsis of the film. As our heroes are propelled into an epic chess game of life and death, love will be challenged, friendships will be torn apart, and sacrifices must be made for the only family Kirk has left.
Wow. That tells us so much about the story.
Oh, I'm sorry. I left out part of that.
Benedict Cumberbatch?
No. I left out part of that. When the crew of the Enterprise is called back home, they find an unstoppable force of terror from within their own organization has detonated the fleet and everything it stands for, leaving our world in a state of crisis. With a personal score to settle, Captain Kirk leads a manhunt to a war zone world to capture a one-man weapon of mass destruction. So clearly the one-man weapon of mass destruction is whoever Benedict Cumberbatch is playing.
Well, hold on. Read it again. Wait, because there were a lot of clues in there.
I think a lot of people think it's still Gary Mitchell. Hold on, now I have to find it again.
Well, I mean,
Let's see. Well, within our own ranks, blah, blah, blah. You know, within their own ranks, that whole thing.
Let's see.
Hold on, let me find it.
Love will be challenged. Friendships destroyed.
Where is it? God damn it to hell. I lost part of it. I just had it 2 seconds ago. I hear you. All right, you ready?
Yep.
I read it a little out of order last time, so let me read it in order this time.
Okay.
When the crew of the Enterprise is called back home, they find an unstoppable force of terror from within their own organization has detonated the fleet and everything it stands for.
Detonated?
Detonated.
Okay.
Leaving our world in a state of crisis. With a personal score to settle, Captain Kirk leads a manhunt to a war zone world to capture a one-man weapon of mass destruction. As our heroes are propelled into an epic chess game of life and death, love will be challenged, friendships will be torn apart, and sacrifices must be made for the only family Kirk has left. His crew.
Yeah, it could be Gary Mitchell.
We'll find out tomorrow, I suspect.
No, it won't.
You don't think so?
No.
Come on. Once you start putting trailers out there, you have to make the reveal.
I don't.
Otherwise, J.J. Abrams is a douche.
Well, I guess we'll see.
So, there.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
That's what I have for news.
What,
We're not going to take a break, right? We're going to roll.
No, I want to roll through some of the rest of this stuff.
Well, then let's do this. DVDs this week.
Now, I don't know when this came out or not, but I definitely want to point this out. Is it 65th or 75th? 65th. 65th anniversary edition of Miracle on 34th Street.
Oh, that maybe that was last week.
In Blu-ray. Was that last week?
Well, this week there were a couple big ones.
Okay.
The Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, yeah, that.
That's a big one.
Okay.
And much of Batman... tradition. There is at least 4 different versions of this.
I'm sure.
Okay. Of course, there's a Blu-ray. There is
Blu-ray combo pack. Blu-ray
trilogy.
3D.
There's an ultraviolet. There's a blah blah blah. So there you go. That's out this week.
Okay.
Finding Nemo, 5-disc Ultimate Collector's Edition out on Blu-ray this week.
5 discs.
5 discs, sir.
Wow.
On Blu-ray, the Criterion Collection version of Brazil out this week.
Ooh.
That's a good one.
On Blu-ray, that would be nice.
Star Trek: The Next Generation Season 2 out on Blu-ray this week.
Oh yeah.
The Simpsons Season 15 out on the Blu-ray.
I haven't decided whether to get those Treks a season at a time
or
wait
for a set. The last set was really kind of nice, remember?
No, it was.
Something I really wanted to see, and never got a chance to because, you know, life. Beasts of the Southern Wild is out this week on Blu-ray. This was it was an independent film, and it looked really kind of trippy, fantasy sort of. It was it looks really cool. So I want to check that out. And I think that's it.
Okay.
I mean, there was some stuff last week. Last week, Men in Black 3 came out. Paranorman
and no one cared.
Came out last week, which I wanted to see. I'm trying to think what else. Was there anything big last week? I think those were the big ones last week. So, there you go. Oh, okay. Transformers Prime Season 2 was last week also.
Oh.
Geek stuff. Comics, books, and graphic novels.
Comics.
Yes, comics.
I've got two that I know don't overlap with what you have.
Okay.
Green Arrow 15 is out this week.
All right.
Which I think this might be a continuation of the Green Arrow Hawkman storyline that's going on right now.
Uh-huh.
Green Arrow 14, he teams up with Hawkman. Savage Hawkman 14, that storyline continues. And I think it picks back up in Green Arrow 15. And also, just in a little Green Arrow DC, New DC 52, I heard or read somewhere that they're bringing back JSA to the New 52 universe.
Really?
And that Green Arrow is going to become a member of JSA. Because he's not part of the JLA right now.
Right.
So I guess they wanted to find a team for him in some capacity, and JSA it is. And then in the continuation of a disappointing, can't wait for it to be reversed storyline, Amazing Spider-Man 699 came out this week, and Spider-Man is Doc Ock, and Doc Ock is Spider-Man.
Oh,
still.
Can't wait for Mephisto to come and fix that. I took a pair of books from Dynamite this week, and they're both starring the pulpy Western hero, the Lone Ranger.
Ooh.
One is Lone Ranger Snake of Iron, number 4, which I believe is the last issue in the series.
How come it's not the last issue of Green Hornet? You know, a book that should be canceled.
You're not nice. What is in the back of here is a great preview for Masks, number 1.
Okay.
Which actually has already come out.
All right.
So that's weird. And I also got Lone Ranger, the ongoing series, number 11. Also a terrific book if you like these characters. Now, we all like these characters right now. However, I saw the trailer
for
the Lone Ranger movie.
And
doesn't look good.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, poor Arnie Hammer.
A little scared. Also this week I picked up the Detective Death in the Family. This is issue 15 of Detective with the die cut.
Have you been reading these?
Cover.
Have you been reading the Death of the Family?
I am behind in Death of the Family.
I have read all of the issues thus far in all of the books. I've been getting the digital copies of the books that I don't normally read.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty fucked up.
Is it?
Joker's an angry young man.
You think? Got a few issues?
Just a couple. More so than usual. It's a little upsetting.
Yeah?
Kudos to Snyder. That's all I'm saying.
And all of them, really. This one is John Layman and Jason Fabok.
Yes.
Doing detectives. So, that Death of the Family storyline is really getting a lot of praise. Batman in general getting a lot of praise. Going from Court of the Owls right into another terrific storyline. You know, they're paying attention. Somebody's
good.
Listening and paying attention. And trades to check out this week. I have but one, OG. BPRD, Hell on Earth, The Devil's Engine, and The Long Death. This would be Hell on Earth, or BPRD, Hell on Earth, Volume 4. And for those of you that like to know these things, I'm going to tell you, because I got to find it. Where are you? Usually says right here in the thing. This is reprinting. Collects the comic book series BPRD Hell on Earth, The Devil's Engine 1 through 3, BPRD Hell on Earth, The Long Death 1 through 3, originally published by Dark Horse Comics, and this trade, of course, is published by Dark Horse Comics. $19.99 is what it's going to run you, and you're going to get a fabulous amount of storytelling, and then, OG, a whole bunch of sketches and pre-work on these books in the back. That's really, really amazing stuff. BPRD Sketchbook, Notes by Scott Alley.
Lovely.
So check that out. You know, these BPRD, Hellboy, there's two others also. There's Lobster Johnson is also very good. And another one that I just started reading, I've had for a while, called Baltimore.
Okay.
These books are a fabulous universe of fun slash horror slash paranormal slash cool stuff. So you should definitely be checking these out.
And before we take our break and go into our massive start of the holiday guide, of course, we have one contest wrapping up this week and one contest starting up. This is going to be the end of our New York Comic Con Guess the Big Hip Geek Stuff contest.
Woohoo!
So we've given away a prize by Dickie Page.
Dickie Page.
We are announcing tonight that Hannah Kay, a.k.a. at SuperCute on Twitter, won the Jelly Empire.
Yay, piece. Hannah.
And then starting tonight and running for 2 weeks, we will actually make the announcement for this contest. It'll be 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on that Wednesday, that last Wednesday, which we say the 19th.
19th, yeah.
So for this one, I will post the rules on how to enter online. It'll be another Twitter contest. We're giving away a Jurassic Tuts from Argonaut Resins. This was a New York Comic Con exclusive, number 22 of 100. You have a chance to win one of these. Signed by Mr. Eric
Diaz, from Argonaut Resins.
Yep. So that will be probably our last contest for 2012, and then hopefully we'll be back with some exciting contests in 2013.
You betcha.
So with that,
OG, let's take our first break on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 269, The Holiday Gift Guide, part 1.
What the fuck was that? Your sister has turned into a zombie.
Hey gang, this is Bruce Campbell, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Ha ha!
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Go fuck yourself.
What the fuck was that? It's the Evil Dead!
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 269. Holiday Gift Guide, part 1.
You didn't know. Right until the last second, you were like, oh, shit.
I had to think about it. I was close, though. I was mostly there.
What is it? What is it?
I couldn't remember if there was another adjective in there. Super Holiday Gift Guide. Holiday Gift Guide to the extreme.
Well, oh, that's pretty funny. You know, we're like, you know, we have little things. Well, I don't want to get into it, but that joke that you made, yeah. Very funny for a number of reasons. So every year, more or less, we spend some time telling you listeners about some gifts that are maybe a little bit off of your radar or a little bit left of center or a little bit, these are things that we enjoy that we would give to people and give to geeks that we know and non-geeks alike.
Not that, I have another one I want to add in tonight, too.
Oh.
Not that the stuff that you can't get, not that Mattel and Hasbro don't put out.
No. And other people as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're just.
Right. I mean, we talked about some of the, we're going to talk more about, you know, some of the ThinkGeek products next week as well. But, you know, some of those sites, you're kind of like, well, is that good or is it not good? And some of these things that we're going to talk about, you may be like on the fence about. You may have heard about some of these things. You may have heard us talk about them in a sort of preliminary way. But we want to give you some great gift ideas. And I want to open right up with one of our favorite, absolutely favorite companies that we've talked about their products for so long. I feel like we should own stock in them by now, but I don't think that we do. And that is the Tonner Doll Company, Tonner Character Figures, Tonner Licensed Products, Tonner something. It changes frequently, so it's Tonner, that's for sure.
Go with Tonner, T-O-N-N-E-R.
And you know what, by the way, can I just throw this out there?
You can do whatever you want.
One of the only Tonner pieces that I've ever was like, oh my God, I have to have that, was the Captain America piece they did out, that they did. You know who has one?
Who?
Put the show on hold for a second. Can you fucking believe that shit?
That's no surprise.
And I didn't get one.
Well, you know,
whatever. I'm just bitter. But it's hard to be bitter in face of this latest piece from Tonner right here that we are recommending as one of the gifts to give this year, I have to say.
If you are, I'm just going to get right into it. If you are a Tron collector.
Tron fan.
Tron fan.
Tron
aficionado.
Aficionado. If you are a
is there a name for Tron fans?
Tron fans.
No, you know what I mean. It's
like
Trekkies or you know what I mean.
Walkers or
yeah. Is there a name for Tron fans?
I don't believe so.
Uh oh.
Could we coin one? What would it
Bike
be?
Bike cycles.
No, too dumb. I don't know.
Anyway,
if you are a fan of Olivia Wilde,
Discheads.
That could be too perverted, sir.
Why? D-I-S-C, Dischead.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying people would be like, you know.
If you were a fan of Olivia Wilde.
If you're a fan of Olivia Wilde, if you are a fan of her character Cora, Tanner has now done the unthinkable so many months after the film's release.
Right.
And they've actually issued a Cora figure. This is in their... This is like the 16-inch scale, right? Isn't that what that is? The
16, 17.
Big old inch scale.
That's a big scale.
Yeah, and it is an absolutely awesome, awesome figure.
It's big.
It is big. And she, of course, has her outfit from the movie done absolutely to perfection. All real materials, sure. all real hair and so on. A terrific likeness also, I have to say.
Sure.
Which is great because if it was a crappy likeness, who would care?
Right.
It would just be a girl from Tron. Well, let me give you an example. Another company put out a Cora figure.
Right.
And she was 3 3/4 tall.
Right.
And no face. They put the helmet on her, which I don't understand.
No oven mitt hands.
No oven mitt hands. Yeah, so we were debating about that.
I seem to remember. Maybe I'm wrong, but I thought this was one of the conversations we had with Mr. Tanner himself.
Uh-huh.
Back at Toy Fair.
About mitten hands?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Because I
this
seem
was
to
one.
Remember there was something about who had wanted all cloth hands and
somebody
maybe
did,
they didn't want all didn't. Cloth hands. Yeah.
Well, this one, OG, you'll be happy to know, this one actually comes with an exchangeable pair of hands.
Right.
The ones that come on the doll are black. To match the outfit.
Right.
But she also has a pair of flesh-colored hands as well.
Interesting.
With painted nails.
And they're always painted.
I know, but
I don't think they are in the movie.
I don't recall seeing her hands in the movie. But regardless, there is a pair. I would not use...
The other hands?
The flesh hands to display this piece.
Correct.
Because the black hands that go along with the outfit are absolutely fantastic. Another thing about it, it's fully articulated, so you're going to get any kind of pose out of it that you want to get.
Right.
So another thing, I don't know if they – well, one of the things they did not do is remember on – now, I'm looking to make sure that I'll make an ass out of myself here. No, I'm not. Good. I'm not going to make an ass out of myself. So the last one we did, Jem.
Right.
Remember she had that sort of reflector tape?
And it didn't quite work right?
It didn't quite work right. But, you know, this one, I don't know. I'm going to – Is that glowing in the dark?
I don't think it's glow in the dark. Let me see. Turn it towards me.
Well, it's hard for you to.
No, that's not glowing in the dark. It's just really bright white.
Well, in any event,
but it looks good.
It really does look good.
It looks better than the last one.
The gem.
Yeah.
I really like the gem also, and I like when Tanner takes those kind of risks. Trying to recreate
something. I think this is an improvement,
something.
Is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think so too. But you know what else though? OG, it's a lot easier to get this effect when it's black on white.
Absolutely.
Or when it's white on black, rather. But that was like white on white,
right,
the gem
right.
outfit. So I can understand that. She comes with boots as well, which are separate, which you can put on. And then the one thing that you and I were also concerned about from the prototype was the disc.
Right.
So I don't remember if the one of the prototypes we saw, or if both of them that we saw, had the disc attached
right. and it
to the outfit,
way,
and it looked way too big.
Big, right.
It looked like she could take that disc off and serve us drinks.
Right, exactly.
So that was a little weird. But they kind of – it looks like they went back. They made the disc a little smaller. They didn't attach it to the outfit, though.
It's more like a disc backpack.
It is. And it has, like, little clear bands.
Right.
You can kind of put it over
but
the
it
shoulder.
But it sits nicely. On the back.
It does. It does, except that I don't – I'm wondering if I would have preferred – well, two things. Two things about this that I think would have been awesome. And these are not things that Tanner right. concerns himself with. So this is stuff that would probably never happen, and I'm totally fine with that.
Two things. One, swappable head.
Okay.
For the visor head, the helmet head.
Right.
Right.
Would have been,
nice. Been awesome.
Or just even just give us a helmet that fits.
Or do that. Yeah, that would have been great too. Number one. And number two, the disc, and of course, and this is kind of A, B. The disc A, that is something that she could hold, and B, the ability to hold it.
Right, right.
So that whole thing would have been real. I would have loved to display this figure because of the great articulation in the piece. I know we could display this figure in that pose when she's like doing that sort of squatty thing with arm out and her head down. You know the picture I'm talking about? If you're actually...
It's kind of like one leg out to the side.
Yeah.
Like she just landed from a high jump.
Exactly. And I'm sure if you guys are checking out our show on any... sort of device of any type with I in front of it. You can see some of the images and some of the things that we're talking about right up there. Or you can go to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Check out the photo gallery where OG will no doubt find and post that posed photo that I'm talking about. That said, this is not that kind of thing. This is display for the purpose of, wow, it's a great image. It's a great, you know, they've done the outfit perfectly and so on and so forth. So, in that manner, this piece really stands out. So why do we pick Tonnard to bring up for the holiday gift guide, and particularly this piece? Well, particularly this piece because it's new, it's out there now, and it's something that you can still get a hold of for this holiday season, as far as I know. But more importantly, the Tonnard Doll Company has now entered their year of doing licensed product in sort of their own category, really, because no one else really is doing it. Who else is doing anything like this? The only thing that even came close to this, I think, is like the Diamond Select Ultimate Quarter Scale
figures.
Which were awful. But no one else is really doing like the large scale. I don't want to limit it by calling it fashion dolls, so I don't want to limit it by calling it that.
Right.
But I want to say large size character pieces with real clothing and real accessories,
right,
real hair, and not, you know, sort of molded stuff everywhere. No one else is doing this. And the great part about Tonnard, in addition to all the great licenses they have, which makes it really easy to find a gift for everybody, but the fact that the other end of their stuff that we don't ever talk about, the fashion doll stuff, is really awesome too.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I'm not, you know,
not my cup of tea.
Not my cup of tea, but you know what? They're still
but
doing
the quality
it really
is
great.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we go every year, and when we go to Toy Fair every year and we see Tonnard, what we immediately are drawn to, of course, is stuff like Harry Potter and Tron and the what you call it ones that they're putting out that we're probably never going to get to see.
What, the Avatar, yeah.
Ones, which are amazing, by the way. You know, that we're instantly drawn to those things. But we always take the time to look at everything because everything is so well done and so awesome. So we're so glad to have a relationship with Tonnard. And we want you to check them out. I think it's Tonnard.com still, right?
It is Tonnard.com. And I'll post a link to that as well over on
and
the
we want
the
you to
notes.
Check them out. This is something that you could give somebody who could start a whole new appreciation for really an age-old art form, which is doll making.
Sure.
And Tonnard, I think, has really perfected it. They've perfected the licenses that they have. And Korra from Tron, which Tron movie was it?
Legacy.
Tron Legacy.
Oh, no. Legacy was the...
Legacy the cartoon?
Legacy is the cartoon. It's
no, Uprising is the cartoon.
Oh, then it's Legacy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tron, from Tron Legacy. I'm going to start that over. From Tron Legacy is just a fantastic piece. And you definitely need to check it out, and other Tonnard pieces as well. Go OG.
All right. First thing on my list, this is the 2012 Galactic Holiday Outer Spacemen from the Four Horsemen.
What?
So this is a set of three figures. It's $50 for the set. It includes the holiday editions, the Galactic Holiday editions of Cyclops, Gemini, and Orbitron. Now, those are three figures that we do not have yet in the regular paint schemes.
We don't?
There was the clear version of these at San Diego. No, they haven't got to that phase yet.
Oh.
Like the Alpha, the Beta.
Oh, I see.
You know what I mean? And
yeah.
Then they get to the final. Okay. So, Cyclops, Gemini, and Orbitron. Cyclops is the big, huge one. That's almost like two figures.
Yeah.
He's so big. These are, when you order them, you can choose from red accessories or green accessories.
Uh-huh.
And you, or you could select random.
Uh-huh.
And they'll send you whatever. If you order two sets, they want you to know if you order two sets, you will get for sure one red and one green.
Got it.
But these are $50 a set.
Wow.
They're only available at Store Horseman. Shop4horseman.com, and I will put up a link to this particular purchase.
Good.
But definitely check these out. And of course, while you're over at Store Horseman, check out the Outer Space Men in general. Check out the Gothitropolis. Anything by the Four Horsemen is pretty much guaranteed to be awesome.
And let's be really specific. The Four Horsemen, of course, we've talked about Corn Boy for years, and we're friends with those guys, and we really appreciate the stuff that they do, both in the mass market and the independent stuff that they do as well.
Oh, absolutely.
But we're focusing on the independent stuff here because we are such big fans of the Outer Spacemen. Here you have a retro license thing that they have taken, they have made it their own, and they're just running with it, and they are brilliant toys. I want every one of them. Now, for me, I like the standard
color schemes. Yeah.
Yeah, I like those. This particular set, not really for me. But that said, what I'm excited about is that we're moving ahead with the next three characters, which means any day now we could be getting the regular paint schemes.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I would say probably like first quarter, maybe second quarter 2013. And I don't have that from an inside source. I'm just guesstimating.
Right.
You know, and this is a pre-order for these, although they say that they're, you know, they're trying to do everything possible to get it to you before the holidays.
Uh-huh.
But if you're buying this for someone, you just print them out a little picture of what it is.
That's it.
They'll know, believe me. If you're buying this for Spaceman fan, they'll know.
Oh, totally.
Again, three great figures, $50 for the set, which is really a good price for three figures.
Hells yeah.
Check them out, storehorseman.com. Now, I have a couple things more. Are you a couple things more? You want me to go? You want to go?
Why don't we swap off? I'll do one.
All right, go.
You know, we've talked a lot in the last year about DC Collectibles, formerly known as DC Direct. And we have had mixed emotions about lots of things regarding that changeover. Some things we've liked, some things we haven't liked so much. But one of the things that's new this week that we do like and that we want to make sure that we're pointing out is, you know, DC Collectibles still is employing some of the best artist sculptors in the world. I mean, this stuff is amazing. And here is a great example right here.
Right.
It is the DC Comics Cover Girls Harley Quinn statue.
Now, this is her costume.
Right.
From the New 52, from Suicide Squad.
Correct. This is the red and blue Harley.
Death of the Family spoiler alert. Don't listen if you're not caught up yet. I'd love a variant version of this statue with the red hood on. Okay.
Okay. Yes, I understand. And this piece is really, really spectacular. There's been a lot of controversy about what they've done with the character with regards to Suicide Squad and changing her a little bit and so on and so forth. I, for one, am hanging tight. I think they've done great things with the character, which I only think now with the Joker coming back, we'll only take another turn.
It's a turn. It is a turn, my friend.
Oh, yeah? What do you have some spoiler?
I've been reading. I've been up to date, and it's...
Oh?
Whew.
The Mistress of Mayhem, little flavor text for that you, Joker. OG. After shedding her old look in favor of a hot new one, from the pages of DC Comics, The New 52, Harley Quinn takes her unique talents to the Suicide Squad. But where do her loyalties lie? Only one thing's for sure. The Joker's girlfriend is back and crazier than ever.
Uh-huh. Sure is. You know, she's permanently pasty now in the New 52.
Oh, really?
It's not makeup anymore.
What'd she do? No one knows?
It's a skin defect. She got vitiligo.
I'm not
exactly sure what it is.
You're a big fan of this series, aren't you? The Cover
Suicide
Girls?
Squad? Well, I was a fan of the DC Cover Girls line when it was... all the artwork was based on Adam Hughes.
Oh, I see.
And not that I'm not a fan of the stuff now.
Right.
But, you know, I was collecting Adam Hughes-related stuff for a while.
Oh, I got you.
But, this is a great statue.
I don't have I don't have artist information except that Jack Matthews sculpted it, and it is fabulous.
Yeah, it looks great.
I mean, it is really, really a fabulous piece. And the other two that they preview.
I kind of dig Poison Ivy's new outfit in Birds of Prey. It's,
right.
It's pretty interesting. And, you know, Catwoman is
Catwoman.
But it looks like a good statue. I mean,
yeah, it is. This stuff from DC Collectibles, we have to say, has really, like I said, it's really been interesting to see the transition. Like we said, also, some things have been really great. Some things have been really confusing and really, really disturbing. So while we're not saying we like everything, we're saying that they definitely have direction. They definitely have opportunities to do things in the future that I think everybody is going to love.
I just want to know when I'm getting, even though I don't really want it, but I kind of do, when I'm getting my DC New 52 Green Arrow figure. That's all I want to know.
Action figure?
Action figure, yeah.
Didn't that come already?
No.
Oh.
They did a Justice League line.
Uh-huh.
But nothing outside of Justice League.
Oh, I see.
So no Green Arrow. Well, and, of course, I want to know who is going to put out an Arrow figure. Someone's got to do it.
Did you get the I'm sure it'll be.
The statue that they had from Arrow.
Yeah.
At New York Comic Con this year, it looked fantastic.
Did you get the Green Arrow statue, the regular Green Arrow statue from the New 52?
I did not know.
I'm pretty sure that came
I don't
out.
Think – I haven't seen that. Now, maybe I've missed it.
It's possible.
But I don't think that I've seen that.
Well, you can check out Harley Quinn. I think they retail for about $100 or so.
Okay.
Thereabouts. So check that out. I think they have a website, do they not? DCComics.com. For more products and info, you can check them out over there.
All right. I have something that you can still get. These were from DesignerCon. At DesignerCon, they had the Suckathon.
The Suckathon.
It was a Sucklord
tribute
show. And if you go to the DKE Toys website, you can reach. I don't think they actually have them for sale on the website. You have to email Dove or Sarah Joe over there. But there were a bunch of collaboration pieces.
Hold on. Just having a moment. Sarah Joe. Okay.
There were a bunch of collaboration pieces. You know, Artist A and Sucklord. Pretty much, more or less. And I picked up two. I picked up the Scott Tolleson piece, which is it's the original Blowpeg. Blowpeg, I believe was a Scott piece from earlier, but this is like a little Princess Leia.
It's like the Fisher people, Fisher Price people.
Yeah, it looks like the did they have a name?
Fisher Price people,
little people, or whatever it was.
I don't remember what it was.
And then the other one I picked up was the Whimsical Clockwork Villain, which is the Doc A Sucklord collaboration piece. And it looks like steampunk Boba Fett with a giant mustache.
Ridiculous mustache.
Yeah, like ridiculous, almost silly mustache. But it's a great piece. And you could still get a lot of these pieces. There are a lot from the Suckathon that are still available if you contact them. So definitely go to DKE Toys. And actually, while you're at DKE Toys, I think they sell a bunch of stuff over there, too.
You should definitely
check out. They always have some great stuff.
They do, indeed.
So definitely take a peek at that. I have one more thing that I want to talk about before we get to the big thing, and then we'll do the big thing. Does that work for you?
Sure.
These came out a couple weeks ago, and I think during one of our absentee weeks, I think it was the week.
Is that what we call it?
Yeah.
An absentee week?
There was an absentee week where I did a solo show that I named The Longest Introduction to a Game Stuff Segment Ever. We had
Game
Stuff Segment
that week.
I didn't
hear that.
And I talked a little bit about the Dunny Apocalypse Chris Reiniak piece.
Uh-huh.
But since then, I have also now have in my possession the John Paul Kaiser piece.
Amazing. Both pieces. Truly amazing. Well,
how would you describe the John Paul Kaiser? It's like an Angel of War.
Well, kind of something. It's like some sort of cross between an angel and like, you know, Achilles.
A Spartan?
Yeah.
I mean, he's got the angel wings.
Yeah.
He's got the fiery sword. It's like Gabriel.
Kind of.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, Gabriel.
The
archangel.
Gabriel. Mm-hmm. But it's a great piece. And really, there are a bunch of, a couple things. In this particular, the Dunning Apocalypse series is a great series.
Totally.
And Kid Robot, again, you know, really breaking the quote-unquote mold. for a platform series, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this piece has wings. It's got the sculpted, like, helmet head.
Right.
With the...
Brush.
Brush on top. Broom head. Yeah, it's great. And John Paul Kaiser's art is fantastic.
As always, yeah.
And so, did you know, speaking of John Paul Kaiser, and actually, if you want to get these for someone, if you know a Star Wars fan, did you know a ton of those pieces are still available?
The Star Wars ones,
the
you
Star
did?
Wars pieces, yeah.
Wow.
If you go to the Yo-Yo Mart website, yeah, there are a ton of those still available.
Wow.
And they're all still reasonably priced, $200, I think, for most of them.
Wow.
So let's make Johnny Apocalypse part of our holiday gift guide.
Yeah.
Let's make John Paul Kaiser part of our holiday gift guide.
Yeah.
Actually, let's make Dickie Page part of our gift guide, because he's got some holiday pieces he just put up in his store.
Oh, yeah?
I'll post a link to those as well. But definitely
is he going to do another piece for our store as well?
We have a couple other things in the line.
Right.
In the works now for our store. I don't want to make any announcements yet.
We have one that we're going to be very – we have several that we're proud of anything that we're able to put in our store. But we have one that we think is fairly below the radar at this point that we think we're going to help blow up.
Yeah. Wow. There's another guy's art who I just realized we should talk about. We'll save it for next week's holiday.
Okay.
So definitely check out the Denny Apocalypse stuff. Check out John Paul Kaiser's stuff over at Yo-Yo Martin. He might have stuff on his own site. Check out Dickie Page's stuff, of course, over at his website. And let's get into the Mamma Jamma.
Okay. Now we all know here on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, we do our best to cover as many companies and as many products as we can, especially things that we really like. And Gentle Giant is no slouch of a company by any stretch of the imagination. We have been following with great interest, and we continue to try as best as we can to keep up with their 12-inch. They're sort of retro Star Wars figures that they're essentially taking the Star Wars figures from when OG was a kid, and they're making them sort of
Jeb Bingus.
Yeah, like Jumbo. I think Jumbo is actually the term that they use. On giant cards, like with the same articulation, you know, like they did a big head on, little head on. Yeah, exactly. Just like that one from Celebration that we talked about. So in addition to that, they also do great statue work, and we've talked about a ton of it on this show. Darth Talon.
Oh, my God. Going back years.
I think the collective
started talking about Gentle Giant stuff before Big Kim's Geek Stuff was Big Kim's Geek Stuff.
That's true, yeah.
I think that goes back to our toy review blog days.
Big Kev's Critical Toys.
When they were doing the Star Wars Animated, and they had, like, the Harry Potter license and all that stuff, yeah.
Big Kev's Critical Toys.
And the Collectible Bits
Box.
Right.
Yes, before that. Wow, that is a long time. And one of the things that you rarely get to see is any sort of Star Wars... what I call a man-sized vehicle done in scale. So here's what I mean by that. We've seen spaceships that are done really well, X-Wings and so on and so forth, but they're usually done very small. You know, the biggest sort of things that we see from sort of that realm is kind of the 3¾ Hasbro large vehicle of the year kind of thing. And
what about the Sideshow? Wasn't it quarter scale?
Quarter scale speeder bike.
Speeder bike.
Yeah, which was fantastic.
Right.
A great piece. Well, I have to say, what we're holding right here is maybe one of the best pieces of Star Wars machinery.
That's an awesome looking piece.
I think that we have ever had the pleasure of talking about on this program. And really the pleasure of actually seeing. Now, this is from Gentle Giant, of course. This is the Star Wars Clone Wars AT-RT. So, essentially what this is...
All-terrain recon transport.
Correct. And it's from... what's the right word? Branded from Clone Wars.
Right.
So, what you have here is... it is sort of a combination... If you took a speeder bike and molded it with a chicken walker or an AT-ST, for those of you in the speak. And for those of you that don't know what that is... That's the ones from Return of the Jedi that Chewbacca took over, the ones that the Ewoks were beating up on. If you took those two concepts and put them together into one vehicle, so you have kind of like the bike portion, but with legs.
Yeah, kind of.
Right? A terrific piece, an absolutely awesome what I call a man-sized vehicle that's able to be done effectively, but still you get an 15-inch tall, fully in scale, hand-painted replica of this piece of machinery from the Clone Wars. It is absolutely, absolutely stunning, OG. I just can't even begin to tell you how impressed I am by this piece.
Now, this, according to the Gentle Giant website, it says it is piloted by ARF Trooper, that's ARF, ARF Trooper Razor.
Correct.
Is that a specific, like, is that like a cap, is Razor like a proper name?
Yeah, it is.
Or is Razor like an additional designation on the ARF Trooper?
No.
Like, is there ARF Trooper Razor and ARF Trooper...
What? Soap?
Shank?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's... No, that is... Don't forget, in the Clone Wars, they're still... At that point in the history of Star Wars, they're still giving Stormtroopers...
Identities.
Sorry, Clone Troopers. Yeah, sort of individual names. So things like Rex...
Right.
And Cody, and you know, all those. Razor is simply one of those. In the particular episode that they pulled this particular piece of armor from, that's the one that they've designed this by. Let me actually give you some of that flavor text, OG. The one-man bipedal walker was often deployed by the Galactic Army for scouting, reconnaissance, patrolling, and quick strikes in difficult terrain on desolate planets and distant battlefields alike. Hand-painted in, quote, Lightning Squad, end quote, colors, which they have perfectly recreated.
Nice.
Piloted by ARF Trooper Razor, this walker stands roughly 15 inches tall, accurately detailed, and built from the digital animation model. So they actually, General Giant gets the digital animation model from Lucasfilm, and they 3D render that model, and this is what you get. I mean, this is a true animation maquette. It's amazing. Gentle Giant AT-RT towers high, but is in scale with other Gentle Giant Clone Wars maquettes. So if you've gotten other Clone Wars pieces, they're going to be in scale with this piece. That's how enormous this piece is.
Right.
I mean, it's enormous. It's 15 inches tall. Yeah, it's great. But until you actually see a 15-inch tall piece of statue Star Wars armor, you just can't get like how impressive it is. It's standing right in front of us right now, and you can't even understand how awesome it looks. This feels like a piece like you would see in Lucas's office.
Exactly.
You know, like somebody was like, you know what we should do for the boss? We should like build a model of this thing because he really likes it and give it to him as a gift. We now have that gift,
right,
from General Giant, essentially. AT-RT's honeycomb base allows for standalone display or fits a procession of accompanying trooper maquettes to its left and right flanks.
Right.
So I think the way that they designed the base is that it can stand with other pieces as well.
So what they're saying is the other trooper maquettes have honeycomb bases as
right.
well, and they'll just
slide together,
kind
of
fit together.
Nice.
Yeah. So what you really need for a proper display, I would say, is probably two troopers, one on each side.
Yeah, you could do that.
I mean, you could do probably more than that.
I think he stands well on his own.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, holy crap.
Could you imagine him? But to get
flanked,
the
effect.
To get the effect of the scale.
Right.
If you had it, even just
true.
One.
That's a good point.
Next to it.
Yeah.
Just to kind of make a scene and
right.
really get the real perspective.
Yeah.
That would be a great display.
Exclusively available through GentleGiantLimited.com. That's GentleGiantLTD.com. The short-run limited edition is made of durable, cold-cast polystone and finely finished metal parts. Absolutely true. Each piece is... And you have to put it together, not like model kit put
yeah,
together.
Yeah.
You know, it comes in like four or five pieces, and you kind of just fit them into place with pegs, you know. Each piece is hand-painted to strict paintmaster guidelines, then individually numbered and packed with matching certificate of authenticity. Now, if I'm reading the certificate correct, I believe there's 200 of these.
Okay. It says it is limited to 200.
Well, then you've confirmed my suspicions. Thank you, OG.
No problem.
I have to say, any person who is a Star Wars fan, Clone Wars fan, Imperial Army or Republic fan, this is one of those pieces that you dare not pass up, because this is one of those pieces that you're going to see it at some point. You're going to see it on display somewhere. Maybe General Giant will have it on display at a con.
And they're going to be angry.
Or somebody will be selling it, and they'll have one out on display, and you didn't get it, and now it's like, you know, way out of your price range.
Right.
This is an opportunity for Star Wars fans, I think, to jump right on board.
Absolutely.
And grab what I think will be a very sought-after piece down the line.
I concur.
That's what I think.
I concur 100%.
And you're not going to get – see, the thing about Gentle Giant is that they do great figural pieces. But you don't – unfortunately, you don't get a lot of opportunity to do figural pieces and – ships or vehicles, because there's not a lot of vehicles, you know, that are sort of single one-off kind of one-man vehicles in the Star Wars universe. There are some, you know, speeder bike, the blood, they did the Bloodfin, didn't they, a while ago?
Yes.
With Maul, and it's like floating next to him or something. They also did one of my favorite Star Wars pieces of all time, which was the Biker Scout leaning up against the bike.
Yes.
But it's just like floating. Yeah. That is one of my favorite pieces of all time. They did that one as well. There's not a wealth, then let's revise. There's not a wealth of one-man vehicles that could be done in such a way as to make them affordable and so on and so forth. But Gentle Giant, I think, has made a great choice by picking the AT-RT and doing it from the Clone Wars, which is where we really get it. Gets the most play, I think, is the right way. They were seen in 3.
Sith, yeah.
Revenge of the Sith. Remember, they actually came out as toys then, too.
I believe so. I do recall them, yes.
But I think this one, the Lightning Squad deco, the way they've painted it, hand-painted every piece, I think they have clearly outdone themselves. This is one of the best Star Wars pieces I've ever seen. And it's really difficult for me to say that because I've seen so many of them. And so it's really hard for me to say, of all the hundreds of pieces I've seen this year, and I've seen hundreds, this is one of the best ones I've seen.
Absolutely.
Now, that said, I want to preview what I'm going to be talking about in March or April this year, which is probably going to be one of the best Star Wars pieces I've ever seen, and it'll probably be one of the Star Wars collectibles of the year, which will be the animated Sand Trooper on the Dewback.
Oh, nice.
Also
yeah.
coming from General Giant. We talked about
it. Pictures.
Yeah, we talked about it briefly when I got back from Celebration. And I'm telling you, man, that piece is stunning. That said, that kind of sort of singular character with a vehicle, if a Dewback is a vehicle, that kind of thing, really terrific piece, really awesome. You know, the whole animated style is terrific. This AT-RT is a completely different class.
Absolutely.
I mean, an absolute different class of beast, if you will. Absolutely incredible. I mean, I can't say enough about it. It's the hardest part is that it's standing here in front of us.
Sure.
And every time you look at it, you see something else that you want to say, wow, wait, no, that is awesome. No, wait, give it a second. I've just seen something else. That is awesome. The detailing, the sculpting, they've just got it nailed. Unbelievable.
Let's just wrap it up by saying go to GentleGiantLimited.com, LPG, and order your save. This is actually technically still on pre-order. This would be a holiday, pre-holiday, post-holiday gift.
Oh, do they have a...
January is the technical
release
date.
Oh, is that the release date?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hey, you know what?
But it's $250. It's well worth it. Again, any person you're buying this for knows.
Let me just say this. It's only.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Oh no,
bucks.
I'm not knocking.
15-inch tall piece of armor like this that's in scale, unbelievable.
Absolutely,
a bargain at $250. And so this would be one thing where you could like OG said, you can give a picture or something like that, and then when it comes in, you have it available. Stunning piece, GentleGiantLTD.com. You can check it out over there. And we'd love to hear your comments about this piece as well. So check it out over there, and you can go to the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
And you can let us know your comments about this piece as well. And there's the music, OG, which means we've reached the end of the program.
That's right.
OG.
Before we fully get into that.
Oh.
Don't forget our sponsor, SuperPowerCollectibles.com.
SuperPowerCollectibles.com.
I'm saying that for a lot of this stuff, and for more awesome items, go to SuperPowerCollectibles.com.
There you go.
For your holiday gift shopping.
You know there's a coupon code?
I hear there is, in fact, a coupon code.
Do you know how many different things it does for you?
Two.
What about the free glass of wine?
And the foot massage? Use coupon code BIGKEV.
Right, and you'll receive $10 off of any order of $50 or more.
That's right.
And for orders of $99 or more, using the coupon code BIGKEV, you get free shipping.
Look at that.
Free shipping.
So spend $100.
Yep.
You get free shipping.
And you save $10.
And you save $10. So spend $100 and you're saving $90. You're paying $90.
You get $90, you're paying $90 and no shipping.
Right.
That is fabulous. That is
a good deal.
That is a hell of a deal.
So superpowercollectibles.com, check them out today.
Yeah.
And of course,
let's do a wrap up. OG, what did we talk about on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
Jamie Foxx playing Electro, the electrician dude. Mortal Kombat Legacy Season 2 coming to us. Hugh Jackman, Patrick Stewart, Ian McKellen, all confirmed for X-Men Days of Future Past, X-Men 4.
Do you think Electro will have a problem with crack?
He might.
You know, like electrician's crack? Oh, that's plumber's crack.
That's plumber's crack.
Well, maybe.
Totally different
maybe
sort
the
of
other
same
crack
thing.
Then.
What else did we talk about? What else did we talk about, actually? Oh, Star Trek Into the Darkness. We should have a trailer tomorrow, which means next week on Big Kipsky Stuff, we will talk about that trailer and let you know our thoughts.
Assuming the rumor is true.
Assuming we have a show next week? No, we have a show next week.
No!
And Darkseid apparently is the rumor.
Or Darkseid.
Sorry, Darkseid is apparently
Darkseid.
I know. At one point in my younger days, when I was a wee lad, I said Darkseid, and it's like stuck in my brain.
Magneto.
Not Magneto, that's just dumb.
Some people say Magneto.
In DVDs this week, we talked about Brazil, the Criterion Collection, out on Blu-ray. Of course, Batman The Dark Knight Rises is the big one this week. The new season of The Simpsons is out this week, so check that out as well.
I also mentioned for the holiday, I think it's the 65th anniversary edition of Miracle on 34th Street. I don't know when it comes out. But it's coming. If it isn't out already.
If it's not out already, it's coming soon. Yep. Of course, in comic books tonight, we had a couple that we discussed. Green Arrow 15 is out this week. Amazing Spider Octopus number 699 is also out this week.
I talked about Detective Comics 18 continuing the Death of the Family story. Lone Ranger number 11 and Lone Ranger Circle of Iron number 4. And also, there was a trade.
Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot, I'm sorry.
There was a BPRD Hell on Earth Volume 4, which is The Devil's Engine and The Long Death.
And then again, very quickly, the product that we talked about tonight, we had several pieces. Of course, from Gentle Giant, we had the ATRT.
Absolutely amazing piece. You must check it out at GentleGiantLTD.com.
From DC Collectibles, we had the Cover Girls of the DC Universe Harlequin statue.
DCComics.com.
From Tanner Doll, we had the Korra character figure from Tron Legacy.
Tanner.com.
From DKE Toys,
Korra's
we
hot.
Had the Suck Lord combo pieces, the Doc A piece and the Scott Tolleson piece, the two we had in the studio. But of course, you can go to DKE Toys for some awesome goodness over there. We also talked about the Dunny Apocalypse series, a great couple of pieces from there. And of course, the Star Horseman Holiday Galactic Edition Outer Spaceman 3-pack. Check out StoreHorseman.com or StoreHorseman, Horror Horseman, whatever their website is. I'll post the link on the
Google it.
Line.
Go to our website and get the link.
Of course, go to BigKissKeekStuff.com for all of our episodes. Of course, all of the show notes with links, links to the episode gallery, direct downloads, all of that good stuff. Of course, you can participate in forums. Don't forget, we have a contest with rules for this week's contest will be posted over there. We are giving away an Argonaut Resins Mini Touch Jurassic piece this week. It was a New York Comic Con exclusive. And I think that's it.
Oh, I'm having a sneezing fit.
It's all right. I'm having a coughing fit.
What's wrong with this studio? Death! And with that, OG, we'll bring this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff to an end by saying, good night, Olivia Wilde, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Roads go ever, ever.